Okay, so we are in the beginning of Simon Reish Samach Tes. Reish Samach Tes is most of the Hilchos of Geirus. And then there's an extra Simon, which is entitled the Isser of Arayos Begeirim Bedinil in the Edus V'chalitza. So the prohibition of various Arayos when it comes to Geirim. Now this is one of these sections that gets, that there's really two sections in Shulchan Aruch that it applies to. From our perspective, it applies to the Geir. But it's also, much of this appears in Evin Ezer as well, that it's, in terms of the halachas of marriage, so it's mentioned there as well. So we're not going to go through, I don't really want to go through all of the details here. There's about 5-6 sifim that are laying out different scenarios. But we could look at the main klal, the main rule that's involved. So there is, the Beis Yosef mentions, in the beginning of Simon Reish Samach Tes. So in my edition, it's on page Reish Tzadi Hei. Is that the first, should open this, I guess. Right, so the first page of the, on the source sheet. So it mentions the following, that B'nei Yudan Amsa Ishtachor, that the sons of Yudan, who was an Amo Ivriya, Yudan was a slave woman, and her boys were freed. And when the boys got freed, so that, including that, is a conversion. So Shara Luhu Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Leminsav Nashe Da'adadeh. So Rav Acha Bar Yaakov permitted them to marry each other's wives. Right? They were married to somebody, they were married to some woman while they were, each had a wife when they were not Jewish. They converted. So Rav, and they said, you know what, let's switch it up for a little while. So Rav Amsa permitted, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov permitted this, that marriage should take place. I mean, even though they're now marrying their brother's wife, right, which is not a permissible marriage under, in halacha, under Torah law, right, here he permitted them to do it. So Amar, why did he permit them to do it? So they're considered to be new people, right? So therefore, of course, they're considered to be new people. They are not actually considered to be related to each other at all. So Amar Le Rava. So Rava said, "V'har Rav Sheshes Asar, Iber Rav Sheshes prohibits such a marriage." So Amar Le, so Rav Acha Bar Yaakov responded by saying, "Who Asar V'ani Sharina?" And he says, "Okay, he's entitled to his opinion. I'm entitled to my opinion. He says that it's Asar. I think that it is permissible." Now it's just interesting historically that these are Amorayim that are paskening on a case of Amma Yivriya here, right? That's an interesting. This is not like total ancient history. This is already, after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, within 100, 200, not like so old. Like this still happened even under Roman rule. That there sounds like there was this concept of Am Ivriya and the concept that the children of such a person would therefore be converted in order to be freed. Fine. So the Gemara comments and says Mina Av Velo. So I'm like, who else was here? So Mina Av Velo Mina Im. Says, however, if they're only related via the father and not via the mother. Right, their relationship is only through their father. So kuliyama lo pli dishari. So then everybody would agree that it would be permissible, that they would be able to marry. I mean, even Rav Sheshes would say that would be okay. Right? Why is that considered okay? So because the relationship through the father is not considered a relationship at all. As Rashi there says, the public puts very little emphasis on the non-Jewish marriage, right? So who says that this was people that are seeing it from afar aren't going to say, oh, this is a strange thing. It's like, okay, who says that they were actually related in the first place? So mina av lomina kliyam alo pligi deshari. So mina im v'lo mina av, they're only related through the mother and not through the father, kuliyam alo pligi deaser. So then everybody agrees that it's aser. Ki pligi mina av umina im. Right, they disagree when it's from the father and from the mother, meaning only from the mother. That's the machlokas. I mean, sorry, that for sure. That's worse. If it's from the father and from the mother, so then we say mandashari basar abasardina. The one who says that it's permitted, it says, because we actually follow the father, and when we're following the father in a non-Jewish world, we can't really assume that it's the same father. Dabene polanya karulu, because people call him the son of so and so. So therefore, they're seen as being recognized through the father. Rav Sheshes karulei b'nei plonis. While Rav Sheshes says, no, they also call her by the mother. So therefore, it's going to look bad if we permit that marriage to take place. V'ika da Amri, and then there's another position in the Gemara, Polygraph Achabar Yaakov Afilu Ba'achim Min Aim, that he even argues when it's brothers through the mother. Umay Taima Gershin Iskai Kakatan Shinol Adam. He says it's like a newborn child, a converse like a newborn child, and therefore they really have zero relationship. So that is the Rav Acha Bar Yaakov seems like he's be totally permitted on these types of things. Now there is a truth. I realize the Gemara here does not mention this concept, but the idea push it. What's the push to say that we should prohibit these things, right? If we agree that on the level of Deoraisa that the Torah perceives these relationships as not existing, because we say Katan Shnol Dami, they're like newborn children and they're not assumed to have previous family relationships. What's the pushback on the other side? So, on one hand, there is the just this, like a sort of a Marasayan thing, but the Gemara says a little bit more sharply in this case. The Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin has a mentions a concept that Kadesh Lo Yomar Sheyavo B'Kedusha Chamura V'Yavo B'Kedusha Kala. That we don't want people to think that when they were not Jewish, such a relationship would be prohibited, and now all of a sudden we're going to say that it's permitted, right? They became Jewish, and a previously prohibited relationship is now going to be permitted, right? So there's that idea floating. But there's a question of how far does that go? Meaning, are non-Jews prohibited from... What exactly is prohibited for not in terms of a non-Jewish relationship, right? Are all of our arayot, right? Are all of the Torah does prohibit Gilui Arayos, right? Gilui Arayos is one of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, right? But what is considered Gilui Arayos for a non-Jew, right? Do we say the same list? Or is it, are we going to distinguish in some way? So it's somewhat unclear. Okay, so anyway, so that's where the Beis Yosef concludes on this topic, the relationship of the father and the mother. Yeah.
I may have missed it, but I'm not sure. I didn't understand. What are the two brothers he prohibited to
do? Marrying their brother's wife.
Marrying the brother's wife after the brother dies or something?
No, while the brother was still alive. Meaning it was, No, well, they converted. So now everything starts fresh.
Before they converted.
What?
I mean, let's say A was married to B and C was married to D, and now they converted. They want to swap.
A was married to one and B was married to two, right? And now they convert, and so now everything starts fresh. So on the norm, if they were going to remain married, they'd have to get remarried to their previous wife, right? So A and one would have to get married, and B and two would have to get remarried. But they said, you know what? We've been there, done that already. Let's switch it up, right? That will really drive mom and dad crazy, right? Like, not only are they going crazy that we just had this conversion, all four of us, but now we're going to switch wives, right? That would be great. So they decide that that's what they're going to go ahead and do. So there was never a divorce, right? They're just new, right? So we say, okay, that's okay, even though they were they were married as non-Jews to the other one, to the brother's spouse, right? That's not going, well, the machlokas, whether that's going to have any standing. So how do we paskin this machlokas? So if you would have asked me, what are we talking about here? The whole thing is really only on a level of derabanan. The whole thing is a rabbinic law. So I would have said, well, let's paskin lekula. Let's paskin leniently. So for some reason we don't, and I'm not sure why. But the Beis Yosef continues on and says, right, v'achshi l'Rav Acha bar Yaakov u'parik, right, there's a question of Rav Acha, and it was answered, meaning the Gemara never concludes whether we paskin like Rav Acha bar Yaakov or like Rav Sheshes. V'kasfu arif v'arash v'kevin delo ifsika halacha abdin l'chumra k'Rav Sheshes. Because the halacha was never paskined, we're going to go l'chumra like Rav Sheshes. So, I don't know, why? I'm not really sure why we go l'chumra like Rav Sheshes, but that's what the Rif and the Rush, that's what they both paskin. So V'yesh, and then he adds in, V'yesh v'divir Rabbeinu Tosofer, shekasu of the achim mina av, lo mina aim, nami asiri, v'hal leis, the behed yamirin abad, the kuliyama lo pli yidishar, right? There is a, in the tour, I couldn't find it, but the tour apparently has some kind of misprint where he says that it even means brothers from the father and not from the mother, but that can't be because it's clear that that is permissible. Just a little bit more. Medivrei HaRambam, Perek Yudai, Milchas Suri Biri, Nirashahu Posik, the Mina Av Umina Eim Shari, that he actually paskins when it's both of them, it's permissible. The Chasav LaRamag, the Efshar Shahu Posik, Kilishna Kama, Vichrav Acha, Lukula Bishel Devrehem. That maybe he paskins like the more chumerdik position of Rav Acha, right? That he might be bothered by the same thing I was bothered by. This whole thing is only a din derabanan. So why are we passing l'chumra and not l'kula? So he's, the Rambam maybe does paskin l'kula, but according to the first position in the Gemara. I mean, the Gemara laid out two possibilities and laid out like the more strict position of Rav Acha, who's the more lenient position. Okay, so anyways, that sort of sets the table a little bit to figure out what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. So if we take a look in the Shulchan Aruch itself, so the Shulchan Aruch in Reish Samach Tes Sif Aleph, right? If we continue down on the, there it is, okay, page 3. So it says, Sudin Torah Shemutr Leger Sheyisa Imo O Achoso Meimo, that Doraisa, a ger, is permitted to marry even his mother, right, or his sister via the mother. Shani's Gairu, that also converted. Ava Chachamim Asru Davar Zeh, the Chachamim prohibited such a thing, right? Kedei Shelo Yomru Banu Mikdusha Chamur L'Kedusha Kala, right? That the Rabbanan said is not a good idea, because we don't want people to say that they came from a Kedusha Chamur to Kedusha Kala, meaning incest is prohibited amongst non-Jews. It's not just a... It's not just affairs and things like that that is prohibited, but incest is also viewed as being from the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. So now we're going to say, oh, when they were not Jewish, they weren't allowed to marry. Now they become Jewish, they are allowed to marry, so that's not a good thing. So v'chein ger sheba al imo o achoso v'hi b'giyusa hareze kaval al aramis. And also, if a ger has relations with his mother or sister, and she's still not Jewish, so then that's like having relations with a non-Jew, which is clearly not allowed, but I guess will not be considered to be incest. That would be considered having relations with a non-Jew. Okay, so Ketzad Din Geirim Ba'arayas, we continue in Sif Beis. So how do we understand the Din of Geirim Ba'arayas, Shel Shar Basar, of other relationships? So Im Haya Nasui Keshu Ovi Kochavim Li'imo Ola Achosu Mi'imo V'Niskayru Mafshirin Osan. Now, I didn't see where this where he got this from. This wasn't quoted in the Beis. I didn't see where this was quoted in the Beis Yosef. But if he was married when he was non-Jew to a prohibited relationship, I mean, he was married to his mother or to his sister, and he converted, so he'd have to separate from them, right? Even though they'll say, well, he had that relationship when he was not Jewish, what's the big deal? No. It was prohibited when he was not Jewish, even though he did it, it's still not going to be allowed when he becomes Jewish. V'im haya nasu l'shar arayas, but he was married to other prohibitions, a prohibited relationship, v'niskayer, hu v'ishto, im afrisho sam, we're not going to separate them. So at least the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins, he says, beyond a sister and a mother, we're going to permit those relationships to stand after the conversion takes place. I don't know even where to find a detailed understanding of what exact prohibition, what exactly are the arayos that are prohibited for non-Jews. Meaning, is that really okay? Meaning, a non-Jew can marry his aunt, and that would be okay? I'm not sure where to find that. So the Shach comments on this in Siv Beis, by Raya Shel Shar Basar, Kolomar Kachu Din Geirim, Im Avar Al Daito, Ba'ochehu Ove Kuchavim. Right? That this, meaning this would be Din by Geirim, that they violated their the prohibitions while they were still not Jewish. V'nasa Imo Achoso Me'imo, or he married his mother or sister, V'niskayru Mafrishas, and we would separate them Ulamish. Im Lo Yimchu Biyado, Afapisha Avar B'giyuso Al Daito, Nikol Makom Yomru Ban Mikdusha Chamura. That even though they, like, we didn't protest, meaning when non-Jews are doing these types of activities as non-Jews, we're not really going to protest. Still, you know, it wasn't allowed then, and it's not going to be allowed now. Shekvar siso beisser va'achshav hutruli. Right? They say, oh, before I was doing it in a prohibited way, and now it's all of a sudden permitted to me. It's still going to be a problem. But if he was married to other arayos when they were not Jewish, even from the mother's side, and they converted, and he was him and his wife with him, since the only thing is because of a gezeira that we don't want Jews to get confused, plus they're already married, we're not going to make them separate. Rak gimel chadashim lahafkin min zera shenizra b'kedusha lezera shenizra shelo b'kedusha, they'll come in siftes, except for to observe the 3 months of separation. Okay, so that is the that is the standard halacha. Right, and the halacha that we quoted here is also quoted in Sif Gimel, that distinction, but I would like to make sure that we have time to get on to the other halacha. Right? It's coming with the different permutations of these types of relationships, but I would like to take a look at Sif Tes. Well, Sif Tes is what he was alluding to, this idea of havchana, the requirements that converts separate for 3 months before they could go ahead and get remarried. So where does that come from? So that comes from a Gemara in Meseches Yevamos, which is alluded to in the Beis Yosef here, but not much of it is there. So I put it on the source sheet. The Gemara is Meseches Yevamos, Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. So the Gemara, towards the top of the page, about 7 lines from the top, it says V'chein Shar Kol Hanashim. So the Gemara, the previous Mishnah was discussing the issue of separating after a divorce. After a divorce, there's a requirement that they separate for 3 months, and similarly for a Yavam, meaning a somebody who's doing Yibum, that's it's Meseches Yevamos, so somebody who has Chalitza or is doing Yibum, so they have to wait 3 months before they could go ahead and do Yibum, in order to make sure that that if they have a child, it's going to be from the new husband and not from the previous husbands. Therefore, you need 3 months in order to keep that separation. And the Gemara even makes a comment there that even if Eliyahu HaNavi would come and say that, oh, I can tell you for sure that she's not pregnant, we're not going to permit any leniency on those 3 months. So that's after a divorce, after Yibum, after Chalitza, right? All of that is not going to be allowed. So then we get to Mem Beis Amud Aleph. It discusses, and what about other women that are in these types of situations? So Gemara says, Bishlama Yevama Kedamron. I understand the issue with Yevama, because it could turn out that she's pregnant from the previous husband, and now she's married to the husband's brother, B'Isser, right? That's a prohibited relationship if she actually was pregnant from the previous husband. He says, Elishar Kol Anashim, but what about other women? Amai, why do they have to wait 3 months? Meaning, what exactly is the harm going to be? So Amar of Nachan, Amar Shmuel Mishum, Da Amar Kral, Liyoslecha, Elukim, Lozarcha, Acharecha. So the Pasuk says in Bereishis, meaning in the discussion with Avram Avinu, that we have to ensure that you'll have your seed will follow you. I mean, that it sounds like there is lahafkin bin zaro shel rishon lazaro shel sheni. That it's important to distinguish where the child is coming from. Is from their first husband or if it's from the second husband. Fine. So masiv rava lefichach ger v'giyores. Therefore, the Braisa says, he says, wait a second. What about a ger and giyores? Srichin lahamkin shlosh chadashim. They also have to wait 3 months. So, hacha mai lahavchin ika. Why are we separating here, right? Either way, we're going to know who the father is. We're going to know who the mother is. So our answer is hacha nami ika lahavchin bin zera shenizra b'kedusha l'zera shelo nizra b'kedusha. So here too, we want to distinguish between a child, a seed that came b'kedusha, meaning once they were already Jewish, versus before they were Jewish, right? Is there really going to be a halachic distinction there? There could be some. If the father's a ger, he can't be a kohen, so those issues aren't going to come up. I guess you would say if they were intermarried, that issue would come up. But then a kohen can't marry her. Okay, so forget that. I don't know if there would be a halachic status difference between that case. Okay, but the Gemara seems to just lay out that there's this importance to distinguish between Zera Shenizra B'Kedusha versus Zera that was not Zera B'Kedusha. Okay? There is just an interesting Tosos here, somewhat of a believe it or not Tosos. If you look at Tosos, Diber Maskel Ger V'Giyores, it says, Mikan Mashma de Ger Mutter B'Giyores. From here, it sounds like from the Gemara is making an assumption that a ger is permitted to marry a giyores, v'delo ka'osrim, not like those who prohibit that relationship, Keshenasim mikodem delo yachsru lesurim. That when they were married beforehand, because they may go back to their old ways. Apparently, there is a shita out there, and the Rush quotes it from a medrash. So this is already going back to the time of the Amorayim, etc. That there is a shita that a couple that was married and then converted together, they can't marry each other because of the concern that they may fall back. So Tosis is pointing out that this Gemara is clearly under the assumption that we don't paskin that way. And the Beis Yosef quotes that medrash as well. It says we don't paskin that way, right? We permit a man and woman that were married as non-Jews to convert and continue and remarry as Jews. Okay? So but the question then is, but do they have to wait? What is the story with this havchana? What is the story with this separation? So if we take a look at the Shulchan Aruch itself, so Shulchan Aruch, if you turn the page here, right? Where are we here? So the very next page in the Shulchan Aruch, I kind of only got half the page on, but it's okay, it's got everything that we need. So Shulchan Aruch Sif Tes says as follows, Gershin is Gair v'ishto imo, a man who converts with his wife with him, Srichim lifrosh zem izeh gimel chadashim. They have to separate for 3 months, lahavkin min zera shenizra b'kedusha, l'zera shenizra shelo b'kedusha. To separate from the zera, the seed that might have come in sanctity versus that which may have come before shelo b'kedusha, before, and that would not be considered to be in sanctity, right? So that is that seems to be the simple halach here, right? And he continues on. It says, "V'im eino rotz l'kaima eino tzricha get el yotzer menu below get." And if they don't want to actually get remarried, meaning they say, "All right, you know, we had a nice life together as non-Jews, and now we're both converted, but you know what? You know, there's many other fish in the sea, right? So they don't have to even get a get." The Rama adds in, right? They could just go their separate ways, and that will be that. Okay, so far in the Shulchan Aruch, we don't see any leniency at all, right? It just says they got to separate for 3 months. By the way, it's unclear to me whether this 3 months, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't seem to be taking a stand on when those 3 months have to be. Does 3 months have to be before the conversion takes place or after the conversion takes place, right? And there's kind of pluses and minuses on both sides, right? I would say, according to pure halacha, I would say that the separation should take place after the conversion takes place. Because before the conversion takes place, they don't really have any ne'amanus, right? On what halachic basis do we believe them that they actually stayed separated for the entire 3 months, right? So that would be a reason to say that maybe the separation should take place afterwards. However, the minug is not that way. The minug, from what I can tell, is to have the separation take place before the conversion happens. The event to separate, and at the end of 3 months, so then they can then they convert at that point, and then they get married soon after. Why? What's the advantage there? So I think it's more a practical thing that the stakes are not as so high, right? That if they if they break the rules, so like okay, they break the rules. It's there's not necessarily any prohibition that will be involved, other than maybe this gezeira or takana as we have it here. As opposed to if we wait till them to be Jewish and they break the rules, so then there's a bigger problem. So I remember having a discussion with Rabbi Brisman about this a couple months ago. So I asked him, so how do we solve the nemanus issue? I mean, how do we solve the problem that they're non-Jews and we don't necessarily we don't believe them, right? We wouldn't hire them as a mashkiach even though they're keeping kosher. So why would we? How do we believe them for this? And Rabbi Brisman said, "Well, we do. We do, and there's usually eyes on them. Meaning, usually, if they're married, they're usually separated. One of them is staying in someone else's house, or there's someone else present. There's usually enough of a way to know. I'm not sure practically there's enough of a way to know, but usually there's enough motivation on their part to do it the right way. So, anyways." So that's the halacha so far. So until we get to the Dagul Meravava. Dagul Meravava.
Just one question.
Yeah.
What if they're not of childbearing age?
Ah, okay. So far, no kulas. Okay? Until we get to the Dagul Meravava. So while often we talk about the Shla as being Dr. Horowitz's ancestor, here we could talk about my ancestor, the Nodiv Yehuda. He discusses that issue, right? He says, Lazar Shinizra Shalom Bikdusha. Says the Dalga Mirabava, V'im hi zekena, but if she is older, now, by the way, I would tell you, the Gemara, as far as I could tell, doesn't have a concept of a zakena, doesn't really have a concept of being a menopausal state. Right? The Gemara, as far as not that I'm an expert in the entire Shas, but I don't remember ever coming across the Gemara making such an acknowledgement. But the Dogelmi Ravava says, but what if she's older? Ain't Sarach HaFrasha, right? They don't require that separation. Va'af Sheha Chelkas Mechokek B'Sif Katan Dalid. What's the Chelkas Mechokek? That's in Eben Ezer. In Eben Ezer, the same halacha appears, because it discusses the laws of marriage. And the Chelkas Mechokek discusses, and he's Nistapik B'Zeh. Right, the Chalkas Mechokik raises this issue, and he's not sure. He's like, I don't know, if they're not childbearing age, maybe they don't have to separate. Maybe they wouldn't have to separate, says the Dogelmi Ravava. Hainu b'niskaira hi v'niseis achar kach la'achar. That's when she converted and married a different person. Uvazeg yishlomar shedino kemo b'Yisrael. And then maybe we should say it should be like a regular case of a Jew. Aval b'niskairu shneim, when they both get convert together, meaning an older man and woman, the man doesn't have to be so old, but a man with an older woman, v'nishareha yachad, and they were together before, the lo mishkachas kiyotze bebi Yisrael, that we don't find that with a Jew would be marrying them, ain't sarach hafrasha, ain't sarach hafrasha. They would not require this separation, kain nira lefi anias daisi. That is my opinion, says the Nodav Yehuda. Okay, so that's a big chiddush. In fact, it's quoted in the Piskei Tshuva as well, pretty much word for word. The Nodav Yehuda comes and adds another chiddush as well. He says, "V'gam nira lefi anias daisi sha'achar kalus gimel chadashim," when the 3 months come to a close, "kishemachzirim," when they remarry, "ain tzarech shiva nikiyim." They don't require shiva nikiyim im lo pirsa nida bintayim, if she didn't have her period in the meantime. So, first of all, the Nodav Yehuda seems to be under the assumption that the separation is taking place after the marriage took place, because we don't a woman who menstruates as a non-Jew is not recognized as a nida. In fact, we'll see a little bit. We'll get up to it. We'll see a little bit later that Rav Moshe says that if a woman can convert during her Shiva Nikiyim and doesn't have to finish off her Shiva Nikiyim, because she wasn't Jewish beforehand, and therefore her Nida period doesn't really count. But here he's not talking about that. Here he's talking about the 7 days before a marriage, right? Before a couple gets married, so the woman has to separate. The woman has to assume that she became a Nida at some point, and they have to wait Shiva Nikiyim before they can go ahead and get remarried. So Nabi Yehuda says, in this case, you wouldn't have to worry about that. Machzir grusha, so tzricha zaynikim, shiny hasam, shigirshu lechalutin, v'nis isha mimenu lekach, ika chimud chadash. Because there, they got divorced, and they were separated, and they never knew if they would be together again. And therefore she would have to wait. I mean, even in the case where they're getting remarried, right, when they got divorced the first time, they didn't know they would get married again. Basha'en kein zu, but in this case, shelechadchila hifrisha al das lachzira, here their separation was for the purpose of getting remarried again. So therefore you don't lachzira ain kan chimud chadash. She's not going to have what we call dam chimud, she's not going to have this automatic dam. And therefore therefore she wouldn't have to wait to Shiva Nikiyim. So that idea of waiting the 7 days does apply to an older couple. I remember, I think when I was still in Phoenix, actually, I came back and I visited YU, and I knew a time of Shechter. I wanted to talk to Rav Shechter. I knew a time his shir ended. So his shir ended, and the guys filed out, and I came in and sat down to talk to him. So as soon as I sit down, he said to me, I was giving shir today on Hilchos Nida, and we talked about this halacha of Dam Chimud, the fellow Mr. There were some older fellows who used to come to shir, the people who retired. So Mr. So-and-so, he asked, he said, does this even apply if she's postmenopausal and hasn't had a period since the last time she went to the mikvah? And we pointed out that that the halacha says that it does apply. He says, oh, that's good, because I'm getting married in 2 weeks. We better make sure to keep the shiv in the kiyam. So Rashak's like, so I guess it's good I gave shir on that today. So I guess it is. Anyways, but that would not apply to the case of a machzir grushas. You would not require the weight of the dam chimud. So those are the two chidushim of the Dalgel Mei Ravava. So, right, so Dagal Meir Vava says, if you could ascertain that she's not pregnant, so the only example that Dagal Meir Vava gives of ascertaining she's not pregnant is that she's too old to be pregnant, right? So now, would that apply to other areas of halacha? So first, before we go there, you have to first say why, meaning when it came to a divorcee, right? When it came to two couples being divorced, so there the Gemara says even if Eliyahu Hanavi would come and say she's not pregnant, there's nothing to worry about. Still, lo plug, as you say in halacha, right? No distinction. We're going to require that 3 months that the 3 month separation take place. But when it comes, but when it comes to this. Right? So here, at least the Noda Behuda is open to the idea of saying that, well, if we can ascertain that she's not pregnant because she's older, so then we don't have to worry about that halacha anymore. So I put next on the source sheet here, what's next? The Minchas Chinuch, yeah. So the Minchas Chinuch suggests that this halacha, the halacha of Geirim, is perhaps fundamentally different than the halachos of divorced people. Why is that? So the Minchas Chinuch. So the Rav Shachter digs up a Minchas Chinuch in. We'll get to his article in a second. Digs up a Minchas Chinuch in Hilchos the mitzvah of Yifas Toar. So the mitzvah of Yifas Toar, what's the Yifas Toar? That's the woman that is found, that is found in war, taken captive in war. And we decide that we're going to, and the Jewish soldier decides that he wants to get married to her. So how long does he have to wait? Right? Does he have to wait before marrying or before having relations with her? Because, we have to distinguish between the Zera Yisrael versus not. So, and does he have to wait in order to get married? Remember, there is two. What just happened?
Did I leave also?
I'm still here.
Everyone left. So how long does he have to wait? So the Minchas Chinuch here says in the underlined part, right? Well, I guess it's the only part in the source sheet. He says Shevesi Divrei Rav Amagia Migerushin the Sover to be Giyores Ein Tzarich LaHamtin Yemei Havchana Rak B'Haisa Nesua. That with a non-Jew who gets remarried, she doesn't have to wait, only if she was married before, right? But we don't just say, oh, well, she, somebody converted, so therefore she's automatically going to have to wait. So, and he explains his proof coming from here, because otherwise you would have to wait 3 months before going ahead and having relations with this captive, and we don't see that has to be done. But then he on the bottom here he says imkein bechol hagiyoras. The Minchas Chinuch continues im in chashash nis avra mikodem. If you don't really have a concern that she's pregnant from before, ain tzarich lahamtin. She doesn't have to wait. Aval iem rinan lo plug v'tzrich lahamtin bechol inyan achar geirus imkein haisa tzrich lahamtin shoshu chadash ma'al v'chanal achar geirusa v'lo li tzariv chodesh shalbechi shaisa adayin gava. Right, because. Plus, if we would say low plug, then we would have to wait, and this woman would have to wait 3 months. Right? So this is based on this. We see a proof. The fact that we only require her to wait a month before they can marry, as opposed to waiting 3 months, shows that we don't have we're not bothered by the issue of havchana if we can somehow figure out that she is not pregnant. So where does that come from, though? Why would that be? So in the Sefer Eretz HaTzvi, which is Rav Shechter's first Sefer that he came out, so on page, what did I put it here, right? Kuf Yud Zayin, yeah? So on page Kuf Yud Zayin, so he talked about mitzvahs v'kidashto. It's the end of the essay is about, what do you call it? Ha'arosu bi'urim b'inyane yuchsin. That's the name of the essay. So at the end, if you see the second, he says, v'hayanira lahosif, the bottom of the right paragraph. He says, v'anira lahosif b'pratzev alomar, d'inei ayin begitin amar abay, naktinen ein sham kohen, nifrida chavila. That if there is no kohen, so the bundle unravels. What is that talking about? So that's talking about an aliyah. So there is a, right, if a Kohen gets the first aliyah, what if there's no Kohen present? So if no Kohen present, so the Gemara says the bundle unravels. So what does that mean? So the Rashi actually gives two explanations, And number one, the first one is, he says, she'ivir ha'levi es kvodo ve'eno kori klal, that the Levi loses his status, and you shouldn't even call up a Levi. Right, so we in our which would mean that Dr. Horowitz would get very few aliyahs these days, right? But according to one Manda Amar in Rashi, he says that we don't. He says the Levi shouldn't even get the aliyah. Now Rashi himself backtracks on that, but why would that be? So B'tzarech Lahavin, right? Eza Isri Yish B'davar Likro Levi Tchila. What would be wrong with calling the Levi first in the absence of a Kohen? So he says V'shamati from the Rav, Mareinu HaGan Rav Yosef Dov Salveitchik, right? Sheyichya, I mean the Rav was still alive when the Sefer came out. The Cholze Nichlal B'din HaPasif V'kidashto L'chaved Es HaKohanim. That the mitzvah is to be mekadesh the kohanim, shelo lechavet es halavim b'shavah lechavod hakohanim. That the point is to make a distinction between the levim and the kohanim. And he draws another comparison as well, that not to refer to mamzerim and eved in a regular way. That part of the mitzvah of the kidashto is to keep track of yichus and not to just mix it up. The same thing would be by havchana by giyuris. Leides matzav havlad al navon im horasu shelo b'kedusha v'leidasu b'kedusha. Right? To know whether this child was conceived by Jews or was not conceived by Jews. O shorasu v'leidasu b'kedusha havi d'oraisa. In which case that din is a din d'oraisa. The gamke nilman mehach krad v'kidashto. Also learned out from the halacha of mitzvah of v'kidashto. So suggests Rav Shechter in the name of the Rav that there is a mitzvah that contained within the mitzvah of being mekadesh kohanim is to distinguish between kohanim and everyone else, and the same halach would be by all cases of yichus to make sure you're clear on what your yichus is, on who you are, where you come from, and he suggests that that is the basis for the idea of a person waiting of Gerim, of a Gioris waiting 3 months before she goes ahead and gets remarried. He's suggesting that might even be a Dindo Raisa. That might be a biblical injunction, rather than just being a Dindo Rabbanan to make sure that we don't end up with a situation like by the Yibum where this woman is married to the brother but pregnant from her previous husband, or a woman gets remarried to someone else and we don't know if the child belongs to which father, in which case we don't know what the relationships are. No, there's a specific commandment here of knowing where you come from and what your status is. So based on the fact that this is a din d'oraisa and not a din d'rabbanan, suggests Rav Shechter in the footnote here on the bottom of the page, in footnote 9, he says, Ayin piskei tshuva le'evan ezer simen yud gimel, davchana be'ishas ish hi ach min d'rabbanan. The idea of havchana by a married woman, that's a din d'rabbanan. V'ayin gemar yivamos, dafil yavol yav, v'yomer dahal lo ivavra, mi mishkach v'ayin zin havchana hi gezeir schacham, sh'nigzre ba'ofen shalo plug. He says, when it comes to a married woman separating, that's a din d'rabbanan. Right, and therefore Eliyahu would come and say, I know that she's not praying, doesn't matter. Plus the rabbi said, it doesn't matter. He says, Masha Inkin ba Havchana de Gioris, as opposed to Havchana by a Gioris, right? Because he suggests that that's a Dindoraisa. The anal, I in the Sri Deation, Minchas Chinuch, right? The anal Luplug, it's not a Luplug. The Hecha de Leka Lamecha Shemamu Verasi, Lo Matsurchinan La Lahamtin. And there, it's not a low plug, and where we're not concerned that maybe she's really pregnant, we don't require her to stay. So this is like a massive chiddush. The fact that the agiora separating is perhaps a dindo raisa, as opposed to an eshes ish separating, which is only a dindo rabbanan, that ends up being a kula. That ends up being a leniency, suggests Rav Shechter, because when it comes to dini d'rabbanan, we have to say lo plug, that we're not going to distinguish between different cases. But if it comes to a din d'oraisa, so maybe you have the right to say that we could distinguish and say that so long as we can ascertain that this child is either from before the conversion or after the conversion, so maybe we wouldn't require the full 3 month separation. So that is the shita of Rav Shechter, and I could say that. Rav Shechter is across the board makel on this. So when I was in Phoenix, the first time, I don't know, the first conversion, but I was in charge, oversaw a conversion of a couple, and they didn't have children, and they were having trouble having children, So I didn't want to say, oh, you have to separate for 3 months, besides the fact that that's, like, really annoying and frustrating and all that. And, you know, you don't necessarily have a good place to go for 3 months. So I remember calling Rav Schechter about it. And Rav Schechter said, yeah, no problem, right? No need for avchana. Just do a pregnancy test between the time that the conversion happens and when they get remarried, and you don't have to worry about it. So they ended up, their conversion took place in Milwaukee. So I remember calling up the Av based in Milwaukee, Rav Senderovic, who... no relationship to Gladys, as far as I know. But discussing him with this, I said, look, I have a psak from Schechter that says that they can get remarried, you know, as soon as the conversion takes place. The conversion will take place. They're going to come back to Phoenix. We're going to do a wedding right afterwards. So, like, I don't know if that's the position if you're a Beis Din or not. So he said to me, he said, look, it's not the position of my Beis Din. I wouldn't paskin that way. But that's not my job anymore. I mean, my job is to convert them. Once they're converting, so then it's your job to figure out when they're going to get married. So I'm not going to stand in the way of you following your psak that you have from Rav Schechter. So I'm like, okay, fine. And that's what we ended up doing. However, since then, I've realized that Rav Schechter is somewhat of an outlier position, that he is probably the most makil on this shaila. There's several middle grounds that that Rav Moshe has in his tshuvos, but I see we're sort of reaching the limit here, so I don't want to rush through those tshuvos. Maybe we'll save Rav Moshe's psak on some of these different scenarios. Maybe we'll save that for next week. Okay? But yes, Sheldon. We can't hear you.
So nowadays we have better technology, and we can determine whether the woman is pregnant, well, where the child was born, who's the father of the child, things like that. Is that interesting to the halacha today?
So I don't think it. I mean, better technology than Eliyahu HaNavi himself.
It's available to every day.
Right, but the Gemara said even if Eliyahu would come and declare by an Ishus Ish, we wouldn't override that. But what we're saying is that the requirement to wait 3 months for after a divorce case might be different than the requirement to wait 3 months by a conversion case. So yeah, the better technology is different. Rav Moshe gets into that perhaps times have changed. Rav Moshe will get into what if she has a period in the middle, right? So that's a pretty good indicator that she's not pregnant, right? So would he be willing to rely on that? By the way, the issue with normally, why would that come up? A woman who gets a get, and then, she's not usually not getting married right away. So, like, why does that come up? So usually it does come up because often a woman is getting remarried and realizes, you know, if let's say a woman's a Baal Tshuva or something. So she's got to work back, you know, and maybe her previous get wasn't such a wonderful thing. So it would require that could come up. About even the get situation, but after a get is given, part of the job of the rabbanim is to like give her like a list of rules. You know, you're not allowed to marry a kohen, and one of the rules are you're not allowed to get married within 3 months. But would some of these kulas apply in that case as well? So we'll.
So the other question I had is about Eishes Yifas Torah.
Yeah.
So I recall there are two different things. One is
right.
He has the Eishes Yifas Torah once.
Right.
The other one that he
has to wait. Correct. But in both of those scenarios, even if the relation's once, you have to then wait after that. So in both of those scenarios, but he's here where the mental scheme is specifically working off the sheets of the Rambam that says you only would wait a month. So why are you only waiting a month? You should have to wait another two after that as well.
What's the
limit of
1 month?
I think the Pasuk itself says something about a month, no?
Yeah, right, it does. So there's one to read.
That's the period to see whether he still wants to marry her or not, right? So you're waiting at the month. So why should you only have to? So I think the machlokas we've shown him is whether you can have relations once and then wait a month, or whether you have to wait a month, right? But either way, it's even if you're allowing the one time deal, you still have the issues of havchana to worry about. I mean, I guess you wouldn't know if it came from that relations. All right, but certainly according to the middle Pesachim is working with the Shita Zarambam that says you only have to wait. You have to wait one abstain for a month, and then you could be with her. Why only 1 month? It should be three. That's where the middle Pesachim is coming from.
Yeah. So why is the Yifas Torah just 1 month and not 3 months?
Well, that's the Rambam's point, right? He says because I think we're I think actually. I think we are you're able to indicate that she's not. Where was he? What did he say here? Because the Sarah Clampton Shosh Radash and Khulisha Shalbechi. Lefini is Icy Raya Brewer, the ain't Sarah Clampton, Velola Mean and Low Plug and Divya Rambam, the Kasav is Sarah Clampton Shosh Radash and Khulisha Shalbechi, Vishnecha Dashim Achra. Vemis Nasis Gioris, La Achar Khodesh Shalbechi. He says that, because she's waiting the month and then waiting another two, according to the Rambam, that she, before they can get married, he has to wait the month of crying. And then the Rambam himself says another 2 months after that. So Milchas Chinuch is saying, why only 2 months after that? It should be 3 months after that. Because if you're going to say from the time that she converted, you have to wait 3 months. So the saying is, well, because the month before she was held captive and obviously didn't have relations during that time, so therefore you could count that as being a month. So you're counting a month of her being not Jewish towards this thing. Which
that month is not written in the... That extra 2 months is not written in the Torah.
Correct. Right. I didn't work through the Rambam what exactly this thing is, but yeah,
okay.
Gotta figure that out. Okay.
I'll take your word for it.
Right. I don't remember how we got to that. We gotta work through that. All right. Good night, everybody.